All right, y'all can go back to your seats. If you would, turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, our passage is going to be that we're reading today, verses 12 through 19. First Corinthians 15:12-19, and following the reading of Scripture, we'll sing together the Gloria Patri. Let's please stand for the reading of God's holy word. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God. For we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him if, in fact, the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. We began 1 Corinthians 15 last week and noted that this is the most extensive discussion of the resurrection in particular throughout in any part of the Bible. It's discussed elsewhere, but Paul gives a very extensive treatment of it. And the main question he's dealing with for a large part of the chapter is the question that's brought up in verse 12, which we read this morning. If it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? So the problem and the confusion the Corinthians were having was not that they didn't believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Paul says in the earlier verses that they certainly did believe that. And they made their stand on that, but what they did not believe is that they would rise from the dead, or that man, physical man, would rise from the dead. That men would simply die, their bodies would go into their grave, their spirits maybe go to God, but there was no resurrection of the body that they believed in. And so he's trying to deal with that question and their confusion on that issue. And the first 11 verses, which we considered last week, were the verses where Paul's giving a clear statement of the gospel. And that the heart of the gospel and the foundation element of the gospel is Jesus Christ was crucified, dead, and was buried. And then he rose again on the third day. And then, of course, ascended into heaven. But the crucial piece of the resurrection as the heart of the gospel, and he gives some of those evidences that confirm for us and encourage us that is indeed is the truth. It's not a falsehood. It's the absolute truth that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. But now, beginning from verse 12 and following, he's going to be dealing specifically with their question or their denial of the resurrection. And the way that his answer really goes from verse 12 all the way through 34, we're going to look at the first piece of it today. And what he does in trying to answer that, he first gives them seven horrible consequences if the dead are not raised. And that's what we're going to look at today. Following up on that, he absolutely contradicts them and says, indeed, the dead will be raised, and some of the wonderful implications of that. And the last piece, which is verses 29 to 34, is basically a statement that Paul is saying, but if Christ hasn't been raised and the dead are not raised, then what good does it do? Why do we even bother to live the Christian life? So if Christ hasn't been raised and you're not going to be raised, as he will tell you, you're wasting your time to be here. Why are you here? Why am I here? If Christ hasn't been raised and you're not going to be raised, then this is a huge waste of our time. Go do your gardening. Go do your grocery shopping. Go do anything else. But waste your time at church. You're only fooling yourself. And so I want to deal with the first little piece of this, the consequences of denying the bodily resurrection. That believers in the Lord will die and they will be physically raised again on the last day. And Paul gives seven horrible consequences to the denial of the believer's bodily resurrection from the dead. And I'm kind of grouped them in three ways. The first is the consequence that relates to Jesus' resurrection. And then there's a couple consequences that relate to those who preach the resurrection. And then there are four consequences for you who hear the resurrection. But the first thing that he addresses is in verse 13, and he repeats it in verse 16, is the consequence regarding Jesus' resurrection. He says, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. He repeats that idea in verse 16. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And he's stating to them, and he's kind of drawing them into this because they do agree that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. They believe that and they stand on it. But basically, the logic of Paul is, if men do not rise physically, and Christ was a man, then Christ has not been raised either. And he's telling these Corinthian Christians, you can't have it both ways. You can't say Jesus physically rose from the dead, and then deny that you, as a believer, will one day rise from the dead at the same time. It doesn't work. And remember, their denial of the physical resurrection was probably, at least in part, they're imbuing the worldly mindset of their day. The Greek mindset was that the body, the physical body, is evil, and that it would be the worst thing imaginable to reunite the soul with the body. That's not the Christian viewpoint. That's the worldly viewpoint of their day. And so Paul is saying to them, you can't have it both ways. If the body won't be raised and Jesus Christ was a man, then he hasn't been raised either. And you immediately can see the whole heart of the gospel is gone. And we'll see an implication of that when we come back to the consequences for you that hear this message. The denial of the resurrection of men, which led to the denial really of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, is not only opens the door for the attack of unbelievers against Christianity because we have nothing to hold out to them any longer. Why should they follow this man and obey him as their king if his body is rotting in a tomb in Israel? He has no authority, no power, no influence. He's a great moral teacher, as some unbelievers would say, but so is Gandhi, you know, so Mother Teresa. You could go down the list of people who have noble qualities, but you're not going to follow them, worship them as Lord. It's a denial of their resurrection takes away the foundation of their faith. And so that's the worst consequence. It's a denial of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There are some that flow from that, some that relate to those who proclaim the gospel, the apostles. The first consequence for the bearers of the message of Jesus' resurrection, in verse 14, he says, "And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless." And so he's speaking of the consequence for those who are standing up here preaching. Why am I wasting my time talking to you? Of course, the other side is, why are you wasting your time listening to me if Christ has not been raised from the dead? My preaching to you is absolutely worthless. It's useless. It's hot air. It's not anything you should waste your time on. The word for useless here, vain, empty, senseless. Anything you want to add to it along that line? And it's interesting that it doesn't come out in our English translations, but the word for useless is repeated twice, as though Paul is trying to hammer it home even stronger. More or less literally, it would be useless, therefore, is the preaching. It's useless. It's empty. It's vain. And see, the irony of it, and Paul's going to reflect on this later on in the chapter, is he suffered greatly to preach this message. I mean, he was stoned, he was imprisoned, he was beaten, he suffered hunger, he suffered shipwreck. He went through all of these things and all of these sufferings, and why in the world would you do that for a message that's empty? Doesn't make any sense. A second consequence to those who bear the message of the resurrection is that it's what you could say, it's evil, it's utterly false, it's a fraud. He's a fraud and a cheat. In verse 15, more than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God. For we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised. He's a false witness. He's a fraud. Now, you and I have rightly been enraged by certain TV preachers that we see. I'm thinking particularly of Robert Tilton in my own mind, but someone in the past who would get up and get widows to give some of their last dimes so he could live in opulence. And you were right to be enraged by that fraud, and that cheat, and that thief. But what Paul is saying is, if Christ hasn't been raised from the dead, that's what I am. I'm a fraud. I'm a liar. I'm a cheat. I'm a false witness. So is the apostolic witness. It's all fraudulent. And you should close your ears and run if Christ has not been raised from the dead, and if you are not raised from the dead. But what will strike home even more is there's four horrible consequences to you, the believer, if Christ hasn't been raised from the dead, and if you are not raised. The first is that your faith is empty. He brought it up in verse 14, even though his focus was on his preaching. Our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. And he repeats the idea in verse 17. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. It's empty. There's a different word than used in the earlier verse. They're both kind of parallel. It's empty, vain, useless, worthless. It's a word used in other contexts of different things. When James speaks about the man with an uncontrolled tongue, he says his religion is worthless. When Peter says we were saved by the precious blood of Christ, he says we were saved from an empty way of life handed down to us by our forefathers. A worthless way of life. And Paul says to you that if Christ has not been raised, then your faith in him is worthless. It's useless. It's empty. It's vain. It's senseless. All those words. So why have faith if Christ has not been raised from the dead? He adds insult to injury in verse 17, the last part of it. He says, not only is your faith is futile, but you are still in your sins. This is where it begins to really be brought home, isn't it? The gospel is that you as a sinner can be forgiven and that your sins can be taken away. That's the gospel. The gospel gives you the bad news first. You are a sinner. But along with it, it gives you the good news that God has made a way through his son who would bear your sin and take it away. And he would do that by his death and his burial. But part of that gospel is, and God will accept his payment, and he shows it and gives evidence that he accepted that payment by his resurrection from the dead. Now, if Christ has not been raised and his body is rotting or has rotted in a tomb in Israel, then what you have is the affirmation and the evidence that God did not accept his payment for sin. That the wrath of God still abides on him for the sins placed on him, not his own, but the sins placed on him. And he still remains under that condemnation. And therefore, you who he represented on the cross are still under the condemnation. And Paul lied in Romans 8 when he said, there is now therefore no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. If Christ is not raised from the dead, you are still in your sins. What a hopeless place to be. But not only that, maybe you're willing to take the bad news for yourself, but now the third piece of bad news is even worse. In verse 18, he says, then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. And that word for lost maybe is too mild, or destroyed, or hopelessly gone. How many Christians have stood at the grave of their loved ones and heard those words, we commit this body to the ground in the hope of the resurrection of the dead. And if Christ has not been raised, that's a lie. And their loved one, they have no hope of ever seeing their loved ones again. All that hope is taken away. It's a false hope. If Christ has not been raised. What a horrible place to be. Not only are we lost, but all of our loved ones are lost as well. And the last thing that he says is regarding ourselves, we have no hope. He says, if only for this, verse 19, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most to be pitied. Because without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, not only do we and our loved ones not have any hope for the future, but we don't have any hope for the present. That's why we're pitied. That's why we're most to be pitied. Because our hope is taken away. Not only is our future taken away, that our present is taken away. Because we have no forgiveness of sins and we have no peace with God. And that's why later on in the chapter he's going to say, therefore, if Christ hasn't been raised, therefore eat and drink and be merry, for tomorrow we die. It doesn't matter what you do in this life. Do whatever you want to do. Don't worry about your family. Don't worry about anybody else. Just worry about yourself. Have a good time, because there's no future and there's no present. Because there's no future. It's all taken away if Christ has not been raised from the dead. And so Paul's trying to drive home to these Corinthians the terrible consequences of their denial, their falling into the attitudes of the world and their denial of the physical resurrection of believers from the dead on the last day. Christ hasn't been raised. The preaching is meaningless. The apostles are false witnesses. Your faith is empty. You're still in your sins. Your loved ones are lost and you have no hope. And in one sense, maybe I should just leave you there and let you soak and stew in the terrible juices of all that. But I can't do it because I'm going to anticipate what Paul's going to say next. The fact of the matter is Christ indeed has been raised from the dead. Which means the preaching is full of truth and worthy of your ears. The apostles and the preachers are true witnesses that your faith in Christ is not in vain. That, beloved, you are not still in your sins. That your loved ones are not lost. And you have hope. That's the glorious message of the resurrection of Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the rich and wonderful and powerful word that we have.